to go from whatever career you're in, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, architect, engineer, whatever it may be, you're limited to the amount of money you can make per day because there's only so many hours in the day. But by doing real estate, I mean, you can own infinite amount of real estate.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. It's Javier Hinojo, your host of the Naked Truth about Real Estate Investing. And today I got Gene Chavez on the show. He is an attorney, a lawyer. Hey, I'm going to ask you that question, by the way. What's the difference between an attorney and a lawyer? You can answer that later. He's out in New Mexico. He's actually part of my mastermind, Billion Dollar Boardroom. And he's got so much knowledge. And we're going to talk a little bit about what he's done in the past and why when he applied for the mastermind, I was very excited just because I wanted to be able to tap into that knowledge, especially all the members and everybody in our network. I'm going to let you talk about, Gene, about what you did, what you're doing now. Talk about your law firm, your practice, and you know where you're going, right? But first, tell me, what's the difference between an attorney and a lawyer?
There's no difference. I guess Okay. Depends on how much you want to charge by the letter.
Okay, answer. Okay, I have no idea. So, awesome. So why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
It's dangerous to give me a mic to talk about myself, Javier, but I'll give it my best shot here. I graduated from high school in 92, graduated college in 95, graduated law school in 99, started out as a prosecutor for about 2 years, and then I've had my own practice since. And I had a little stint for a couple of years there where I was working for an insurance defense firm. I did a lot of work for landlord tenants, both getting people out of bad leases or enforcing leases, to people falling downstairs, multifamilies, to shootings, to armed robberies, to slip and fall, cars getting hit and run kind of thing with no injuries, just their cars, having too many pets, you know, all those kinds of things. And the one thing I can tell you, the real winner in the landlord-tenant law is the owners. The attorneys fight for the fees, and sometimes they get paid, sometimes they don't. Judges whittle away at what they think is reasonable. And at the end of the day, I may go home with a briefcase full of money from what I made on all the cases that I did for a landlord or for an owner. And the owner was taking a Brinks truck. Yeah. So I eventually figured out, you know, I'm on the wrong side here. I need to hire the lawyers and not be one of them.
Yeah. Well, hopefully nobody in our group, in our circle, was ever in the other side of the, you know, in a courtroom, right? Like, oh, Gene. Oh, I know that guy.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it. Seriously.
Super cool. Well, I appreciate you taking your time. I know you're a busy guy kind of coming on, and definitely wanted to get a professional, you know, just an attorney, talk about, you know, just tenant landlord rules and laws, things like that. When you did this, just in New Mexico or all over the country?
No, just in New Mexico.
Okay. Why don't you tell me a little bit about, like, what's one of the biggest, like, mistakes, right? One of the quickest things that somebody could do that, you know, they don't lose their shirt, right? Like, as a landlord. Or the most common thing you saw?
Basically, for any tenant to look into a way to get out of a lease. And generally, when you go to court, these aren't, if you're dealing with small matters, like maybe a few months worth of rent, you're going to go to a smaller court. It's going to be like a magistrate or a municipal court. In different jurisdictions, it's called something different. I guess it's called small claims court or something like that, because they're smaller amounts. And the thing that's very frustrating as an owner, as a landlord, and I've been in court for that as well, is the courts basically favor on the smaller issues the tenants. You could be 100% right, but they're going to slash away at maybe some late fees, or they're going to slash away at attorney's fees or something like that. So you got to know going into it on smaller issues, your tenants are going to kind of have not an upper hand, but they're going to have a little advantage because the judges are going to feel a little sorry for them and they're going to get them out, evict them, move them, but you're not going to get everything you should get pursuant to the law.
Okay.
I guess one of the mistakes that a lot of landlords make is first off, you need to hire a good lawyer or a knowledgeable lawyer in drafting your landlord agreement or your uniform owner resident relations agreement. And some things that you really need to make sure that are in there where they pay, the dates and times that they need to pay before it's late, your policy on dogs and cats and birds and exotic animals like alligators and tigers and stuff like that. It happens.
I've seen pigs. I saw one with a pig inside, a pet pig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also of note, and I do this myself. I don't know if a whole lot of other people do it, but you may want to put in there an addendum to your lease agreement that says a crime-free addendum. At least that's what I call mine. In it, it says that there's anything that the tenant is doing that could constitute a legal nuisance or is illegal or anything like that, that's a basis for immediate termination.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or close to immediate. And the reason I say that is because if you got somebody cooking a meth lab or something like that, you've got somebody with illegal animals, you've got somebody that's doing drug deals, you've got something like that. The general, each law in all jurisdictions pretty much gives landlords a way out to terminate a lease for those kinds of things. But to have an addendum in your lease agreement that says that, hey, if we see this and if we think it's there, we'll give you notice, but that's a basis to terminate the lease, that's going to help you in getting rid of them and any issues in court for any type of action that the tenant may kind of file. But where it's going to help you more in the big picture is in a civil matter. For example, if you've got, and I did some of these where, I don't know, a drug deal went bad or something like that in the parking lot, and there was a drive-by shooting and people got shot at, and it was a tenant's car or tenant's apartment that happened to, you want to be able to get them out of there, and you want to show the attorneys down the road when there's a lawsuit filed against you for a nuisance or for premises liability that you had something in place to show that, no, the minute we know about this stuff, they're out. So we didn't keep our bad tenant in apartment 4B, despite numerous complaints, despite all kinds of bad things that went on. Something happened, somebody got hit by an errant, I don't know, baseball or gunshot or something, and the landlord not only didn't do anything about it, but closed his eyes to it, and all he cared about was getting the rent. So having that in place could help down the line in something bigger, because I think for landlords, owners of multifamily, you kind of have an understanding that there's going to be a certain amount of late payments. There's going to be a certain amount of people that skipped out. And of course, you want to minimize it, but there's a certain amount. What you don't want is the bigger picture. And I did it. I mean, when there was a drive-by shooting at an apartment complex, I hammered them because they didn't have any policies or procedures in place for any of the tenants that were there that, may have been encouraging or in fact doing it themselves. So, wow. I went after them for punitive damages. And of course, the insurance companies are the ones that make decisions. They're going to decide how much to pay. But if the landlord would have had that ammunition to say, no, we have these policies in place the minute we suspect or see anything like that. Remember, this isn't criminal court. So reasonable suspicion, probable cause thing. No. If you have a tenant that's problematic, that's not watching their teenagers, that's not keeping their area that they're supposed to keep in a good way, that's, has numerous complaints about, their cars or the kind of people that are doing business around their cars or, anything like that, suspicious. And then for a civil lawyer down the line to come in and say, oh, look, you knew about it. You didn't do anything about it. You're going to apologize with a bunch of zeros.
Wow.
And ultimately, you're going to keep your place, but your insurance is going to
go up.
Skyrocket.
Yeah, for sure. So what I'm hearing after all this is make sure you have the right policies. The right leases drawn up,
absolutely.
The right steps and procedures, right? Whatever it is, right? Just to cover your ass, basically.
Case. Absolutely. A good lawyer is going to take a look at what the applicable laws are going to be. And for example, I'm transitioning out of law. I'm semi-retired and I'm doing this full time. And I'm excited about the opportunity to work with you and, learn from you and your program. And I'm focusing on the mobile homes and the RV parks and RV resorts. But it's the same thing across the board with multifamily as well. And some people just rent out a bunch of houses, just regular homes. And there's certain laws different laws for each type that you're renting. There's different laws for multifamily. There's different laws for mobile home parks. And there's different laws for RV parks. In New Mexico, we really don't have laws for RV parks, but we have laws for mobile home parks that are separate from that of multifamily. So a good lawyer is going to tailor your agreement to make sure that it's part of that. One of the sneaky things that I did, Javier, when I had this was back when I was young and I practiced door law. Door law was whatever came in the door I practiced.
Okay, Dorla. So, I never heard of that. Dorla.
Yeah, Dorla. Okay. What do you practice? Dorla. Whatever comes in the door, I'm practicing.
Awesome.
So if somebody came in, they're like, I need to get out of this lease, but I can't afford to pay this. And, you know, what can you do for me? Can you look at this? So I would look at the agreement. And if I found one thing that was lacking, that wasn't in there, that was required by law, that's a basis for me to break it and get attorney's fees. Nice. So, I mean, one small thing, such as a return address for the landlord, you know, or where to be contacted, something minor. And if I found that, boom, you know, I made my money, got them out. They were happy. Granted, it wasn't much, but, you know, it was one small little win. And I mean, I don't think the landlords were too concerned about, you know, what, $400 or $500. But later on, I graduated in my experience and started doing the bigger ones where there was the injuries or the, you know, slip and fall or the shooting and, you know, those kinds of things. Because, I mean, you can sue anybody for anything, anytime, anywhere, any place. Kind of like when you're a lawyer, people ask you, hey, is it legal if I do this? And my answer is, would you get caught? Yeah. I mean, it's illegal to jaywalk. I mean, we all do it. Did you get caught? Okay, if you got caught, then let's talk. But the theoretical stuff never really works. And a successful person like yourself that has multifamily and does, you know, great job, it has a great team, you know, litigation is just inevitable. It's going to happen. And the best you can do is set yourself up for success by these small little things to put in place so that your exposure is minimal.
Yeah. I have a friend that he was telling me a story when he bought an apartment building. That same day that he bought it, or the next day, he didn't even have time to change the staff. One of the maintenance guys stepped like on a nail, went through his shoe, went through his foot. Like, it was like a big deal. And he was like, man, it was such a nightmare. He said it was brutal. But anyways,
that happens. That's two cases right there, Javier. That's a workers' comp claim, and that's a premises liability, perhaps. And
hey,
like I said,
even though it's probably, he was the maintenance guy that probably left it on the floor, you know?
Yeah, he probably did it to himself.
Okay, so hey, so let's talk a little bit about what you're focusing on and your investment. I know you're doing mobile home parks. So why don't you tell me what are you working on right now, or maybe your late any acquisitions you got, or maybe the last deal you closed. Let's talk about that.
We're about to close on our park, small mobile home park in Hobbs, New Mexico.
Okay.
It was an off-market deal that I was able to get with mailings that I sent out. So cool. The mailings I sent out, I got a response and I got that there. I've lost out on two deals in the last probably 3 weeks. Had a nice park in Elephant Butte, New Mexico's biggest lake.
We used to go there, man. I used to live in El Paso. We used to go, let's go to Elephant Butte. And we used to just go out there to the lake. Yeah, man, I remember that.
We love it. I mean, it's a pond compared to most other states, I know, but it's a great time.
There's nothing in El Paso, Texas. So for us, that was like heaven, you know, when I was a kid.
You know, that's my wife's hometown. She said she's looking forward to talking some El Paso stories with you.
Awesome. Super cool. So you missed out on that one. So what do you think made you miss out on those other two deals?
I think part of it was our offer was the same, but the way I tiered it, and I went in and I put the earnest deposit at 1%. And apparently this national company put in like, I don't know, 10% of the purchase deal. And the owner or seller just liked their deal better. So I lost out on it, which is kind of a bummer, but you know, I mean, what can I do about it? And then I lost another one because I couldn't get, it was an RV park. It was in Carlsbad. And I lost out on it because, I didn't lost out. I walked away from it because the seller wouldn't give me a warranty that the park was zoned and permitted for an RV park.
Ah, well, you definitely need that because you don't want to jump into a problem. Man, look at that. Elephant View and Carlsbad Caverns. We used to go to the caverns, not all the time, but when I was a kid as well. You got caverns over there, by the way. Super cool.
Yeah.
Bring back some memories, Gene. Next in memory.
Yeah. So I'm there's three of them off-market deals that I, you know, by putting your name out there and pressing the flesh, all the things that you talk about on your, I follow your Twitter, your Facebook, your TikTok, you know, all the things about getting it out there, what you do. And so I have three potential mobile home parks here in Albuquerque that we're going to look at, and I'm going to put in offers and purchase. And, you know, just like everyone else, the tough thing is I have some investors to help with the Hobbs project, and they're excited. And, you know, finding more investors and finding the financing is of course always the tough part in any acquisition, you know, for us anyway. But if the numbers make sense and the way we assess the deal, that's what we're working on. And you know, I can talk to you all day long about the legal end, but it's night and day from doing what you do. And so for me transitioning to do my experience, my past has helped to now, I'm excited about it and I'm absorbing as much as I can, but boy, there's so much I don't know.
Yeah. You know what? We all don't know, right? We're always learning every day.
Yeah.
And you got to come up with a good slogan, Gene, like, because you're an attorney, kind of like the, you know, the show from Netflix, right? Breaking Bad. And then you have the attorney Sal, like, you know, you need to call Sal, right? Maybe you got to come up with something cool. Like, you know,
I was in the show.
What? Come on now.
I was on the show and on episode 8 of season 1 in the first 5 minutes, I'm working as an attorney, and the main character, Saul Goodman, played by Bob Odenkirk, comes over to me and has me on and says, "Here you go, Gene. I get to use my name." And I said, "Thanks, Jimmy." And I still get small residuals from it. But yeah, I got to be on that show because I'm such a big fan.
Oh, that's super cool, man. It's one of my favorite shows ever. So yeah, so somehow like, hey, you know, Gene buys mobile home parks, whatever. So just make it like the attorney buys mobile home parks. I don't know. Something like that. You got to come up with something. We'll come up with something. Help you out with that.
I'm looking forward to it then.
Yeah, sure. So let me ask you this. So transitioning, right? We have a lot of people that transition from maybe flipping houses to apartments to whatever else they want to do, or somebody, you know, transitioning from a job, right? Like, I tell you what, I have a good friend that he just transitioned from his banking job, and he had like over 100 single family houses. And in the last 6 months, he's almost doubled because he's focused his time and energy. So you tell me and all the audience out there, somebody who's got a career, a job, and they're trying to transition full time into or have transitioned full time into, you know, real estate, what's the greatest challenge and what do you see as the greatest benefit?
Well, the greatest benefit is that with real estate, that's passive income. And that's, I mean, you could also call that mailbox money, but, you know, I'm focusing on it with the your method, and that's the generational wealth. I mean, you can make a ridiculous amount of wealth by scaling this and doing it right, having multiple properties and keep purchasing, you know, more properties, and you'll have income coming in indefinitely. And perhaps somebody will buy you out somewhere down the line or leave you a percentage in it. But I mean, that's huge. So to go from whatever career you're in, whether you're a doctor, lawyer, architect, engineer, whatever it may be, you're limited to the amount of money you can make per day because there's only so many hours in the day. But by doing real estate, I mean, you can own infinite amount of real estate. You can own an infinite amount of types of real estate, whether, like you said, multifamily homes, mobile home parks, RV parks, you know, whatever it may be, Airbnb, and there's no limit. And there's no real limit to your income other than you get a good team, you set up a group of individuals that come in and assist you, you know, with that. But there's no real limit as to the, you know, the sky or your ceiling. So that's what I'd say is the biggest reward and why it's very enticing. The challenges is for me coming from a law background. I mean, yeah, it helps me because I know a little bit about what not to do and what to do as far as the operations. But, you know, going to investors, setting up those types of, going to masterminds, those kinds of things, yeah, that's brand new. I'm basically saying everything that you say in all of your media, Javier, and that is that a team, you know, get yourself a good team and networking, networking, networking. You know, what I bring to the table may be better, very beneficial to somebody else, but I need help too. And so to talk to other people that have that information is huge. And, yeah, you know, sharing information, and there's plenty of business to go for everyone. I mean, that's one of the things too that's unique about this, where, you know, I personally have appreciated the help you've given me in the past. You're doing well and, you know, killing it in your area, but I'm not a threat out here in New Mexico because I can scale and do a lot, and, you know, with your assistance. And,
oh, for sure.
And I think helping and networking is a good thing. Whereas in your, my profession, like over here in, you know, New Mexico, we got ambulance chasers and people following around construction companies looking for people to get injured. And I don't want any part of that anymore. I'm done. I don't want to compete with those guys. I want to compete with, and what I mean compete, I want to say, "Hey, Javier, this is the deal that I got. They're asking X amount. These are the numbers. Are you interested in working this with me?" Fantastic. Great. When we work out the details, get it done, we're both happy campers. So that's another positive thing. I guess another challenging thing too is for me, it was self-employed, so it wasn't so big as of a transition, but if someone works for a company, works for the government or something like that, and they want to go into transition to doing this, it's going to take a lot of time because you may or may not be able to break away from your 9-to-5, and your 9-to-5 isn't going to care about what you're doing and the time it takes for you to go set it up and do it. So it's going to take a lot of time and a very supportive spouse if you're in a family. But, you know, the payoff's going to be well worth it. It takes dedication, and this isn't for everybody. You know, I mean, some people want the guaranteed check every 2 weeks. Some people want the benefits that come with it.
That security, right? The security.
Absolutely, the security.
Like that safety blanket.
And starting out, you know, well, gee, are they going to accept my offer? Gee, am I going to get back my earnest deposit that I just put down? You know, gee, do I have to pay for the inspection? Wow, I have to pay for this appraisal. Dang, it's never going to stop. I'm having to pay this. Am I getting it back? And those things you don't learn until you actually do it. And if you're, you know, prepared for it and you understand it, great. But there's no guarantee I'm going to get any of those back, number one. And number two, there's no guarantee that it's going to go through. But like Javier says, you believe in yourself. You know, you believe in what you're doing. You go forward, you do all your homework and go from there. And some people think that there's an easy button. I'm going to do real estate. I'm going to hit this easy button. And it's not easy. It's simple. It really is simple. We're not building rockets here. It's really simple, but it's not easy. And there is a difference. So it's going to take some time. It's going to take some dedication. It's going to take sacrifice. And, you know, you may have to miss out on a birthday party or two with the children. You may have to use up all your vacation time to go look at a property or do things that are related to it while you're still working for somebody else. It's going to be worth it at the end because, you know, running in that wheel at your company, you know, the wheel may get bigger. I mean, you may get the raises and the promotions and that, but you're going to be stuck in that wheel. But to do what Javier is doing and what I'm aspiring to do is that's generational wealth. That's your kids, 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 you know, will be financially secure with the hard work that's done, you know, now.
Yep. So it's one thing you said out there, right? You said there's some sacrifices, right? So at some point, everybody has to sacrifice something, you know? So if you're married, you might be some time with your spouse, with your kids, if you have kids, right? If you're single, hey, you know what? Maybe you don't hang out as much. You just go and you spend that extra time hanging out with your buddies working. But another key thing you said was you got to make sure your spouse is on board. So anybody out there who's got a partner, significant other, if they're not on board, it's going to be a lot harder, right? Because it's not easy. It's simple. Like you said, it's simple, right? But it takes work. And if they're not on board, it's going to be a little bit harder. So got to have that chat, that communication, and kind of have a game plan with, you know, whoever your partner is. So that's definitely key. Let me ask you this question, Gene. So far, what has been, I know you mentioned earlier, you came in at a 1% earnest deposit. Somebody else came with 10, but I'm not sure that would be your, you know, what do you think your biggest mistake so far has been like in investing? What do you think your biggest mistake?
Biggest mistake has been probably not jumping at the deals that I probably should have jumped at earlier because I wanted to crunch the numbers and make sure they made sense. And I mean, there's more. I keep referring back to you, Javier, because I've learned a lot from all your media. My mentor is Dan Pena. So I've learned how to scale the business and get things started that way. And I've learned, and it's 100% true. My social circle has turned into a social triangle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the more people we used to hang out with and do all things with, I mean, it's really come down to very small, like maybe my wife and I pretty much, because, you know, what we want to do, what we need to do and all the stuff we've had to sacrifice, very few people would understand except for people like mine.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of the things that Dan Pena would always say is, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. So, you know, if you're hanging out with party time people that are just doing the same thing and been doing the same thing for years, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's great. But if you aspire for something different, you know, go with them. So I try to change the mindset that way. I've tried to, you know, focus on, you know, just do it, just do it, just do it. Meeting people in the banking industry, meeting private lenders, meeting investment, you know, bankers kinds of things has been really eye-opening. And I really, my biggest regret, I'll tell you what my biggest regret is in when I first started practicing law, I should have started working on the corporate side, the commercial. Very much what like your attorneys do. I mean, I think that's a lot more fun. I think it's more engaging. I think it's more financially rewarding. And I think it would set myself up in a better place right now, as opposed to doing the criminal defense and the workers' comp and personal injury. So that's my biggest regret. But as far as, you know, right now, I guess not being able to assess a deal fast enough has sometimes hurt me. And not having like for example, I found a wonderful mobile home park, 100% occupied in St. Augustine, Florida. I think it was 280 units, 100%. And they're all tenant owned. I think the asking price was, I think, $12 million or something like that. And I did the numbers and it looked, everything looked pretty well, but I don't have the immediate access to $12 million. And I don't really know anybody that does. And, you know, it's a great deal. And I feel like I'm screaming at rooftops and there's all kinds of people that could help, but I don't know them. So putting myself around the right people and the right resources is probably my biggest regret. And now I'm working on it.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to change your life, Gene. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Being part of a mastermind network, you know what? Yeah, you're right, right? Maybe you should have started a lot earlier. You'd be a lot ahead. But you know what? It's never too late. That's the best part, right? You're doing it now. See, actors, I see you everywhere too, right? Now you're networking. Now if you find something that's $12 million, right, you make sure you give me a call. I'll be more than happy to jump on that right away. So, but it's awesome, man. I really appreciate you just sharing your biggest mistake, right? So it's just nice for everybody to hear it out there in the audience. We don't all do it perfect. I make mistakes all the time. So, but just move on, right? You just, mm-hmm. you learn from them and you keep going. So I appreciate that. Hey, this brings me to, we're almost out of time. So this brings me to my favorite part of the interview, which is the naked roulette. And I'm going to ask Gene three questions. Let's find out if attorneys have a sense of humor. How about that, huh?
Well, this one does. I love lawyer jokes.
All right. Let's go. The Naked Truth Roulette. First question for Gene. Ever cried at a movie?
Yes.
All right. Which movie was it?
Oh, wow.
Or the last one you cried at?
The last one I cried at. The one that comes to mind is the movie Frequency.
Frequency. Okay. All right, Frequency. So Gene cried in the movie Frequency. All right, so he has cried in a movie.
Yes.
Question number two. I get to meet your wife. I'm going to tell her this one. If you could pick any celebrity and take them on a romantic date, who would it be? Dead or alive? Wow. Dead or alive? Doesn't matter.
Dead or alive?
Yeah.
Geez, my wife is going to kill me on this one. But,
okay, it's all right. I'll back you up. I say I force you to do it.
You're not going to know who she is. I'm sure everybody will look it up and they're going to see what kind of weirdo I am. But her name is Anastasia Berthier, Berthier.
I'm definitely going to look at her. I'm going to look her up now. I'm going to look her up. Awesome. Okay. I won't tell your wife. Nobody tell your wife. It's just you and me talking here. Here we go.
Oh, she knows. She gives me such a hard time.
All right. Third question for you. What is the worst chore to do? Which one do you like the least?
Oh, man. To be honest with you, I have such a good wife. I don't have to do much. She takes care of everything. But the worst chore I do is anything having to do with the yard work. I hate yard work with a passion, man.
Okay. Yeah.
With a passion.
I hate yard work, man. I hate yard work as well. I definitely do not like it.
I hate yard work.
Yeah. Awesome, Gene. You survived the Naked Truth Roulette. It wasn't that bad, was it? It was pretty good.
No, I was hoping for some good ones.
I kept it pretty good. So Gene, how do people get a hold of you? Right? You got some people out there, maybe you got some deal flow out in New Mexico area, people who might be interested in partnering up with you or just get a chance to chat with you. How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, Gene Chavez, Gene the Shark. If you did type in Gene the Shark on Facebook, you'll find me. Nickname of mine, sharks are my favorite animals, and being an attorney, that was the nickname that's always stuck.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm on LinkedIn, Gene Chavez. I'm on Twitter, Real Gene Chavez. I'm on TikTok, Gene the Shark, and I'm on Instagram, Gene the Shark.
Cool. So I'll make sure all those links are in the show notes. We got those links for sure. And Gene the Shark buys mobile home parks.
Yeah, I love it.
Something like that, right? But anyways, hey, I appreciate you being on the show. I can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks, coming over here to Raleigh for our event. And I'm very excited about that, to meet you and your wife. Thanks again, Gene. I am your host, Javier. Don't lose your shirt. Time consuming, it can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list when I buy a property. When I buy an apartment building, or even a mobile home park, you can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit, it could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link. You get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.